Saludos nuestra gente, and welcome to a very special interview with Senator Patricia Torres Rey, who's running for Congress at Latina Theory, a Spanglish podcast sin vergüenzas. I'm your host, Ariana Genis.
Along with
my co-host,
Maria Isa.
And we are two proud Minnesotanas, a Chicana and a Boricua, proud of where we come from and where we are now. We are here to create a dialogue focused on Latina opinions regarding current events, health, politics, race, edutainment,
and a playlist asazonado with Latinx contemporary, Latinx alternative, soul, hip-hop, reggae, reggaeton, cumbia, R&B, salsa, ritmos afro-latinos, y más.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory.
All right, nuestra gente, we're here on a very exciting episode because we are interviewing a very important chingona Latina mujer here in Minnesota. Her name is Senator Patricia Torres Rey, and she's running for Congress. We're super excited to have her here with us today, right, Maria?
Super excited.
And we also have a special guest.
Yes, we also have, well, you know, he's like a padrino in the community. You can laugh.
Es que me estaba sintiendo tan viejo.
He's definitely a Mexicano chingón padrino for this Boricua. His name is Jose González.
Jose González, este, a Minnesotano after almost 5 decades living in Minnesota, pero originally from Durango, Mexico, and very proud of that. So anyway, thank you for allowing me to sit in.
Yeah, of course.
I also think it's important for our listeners to know, as a Chicana, that he's a Chivista, you know, for people who follow him. He's here with his Bimbo Chivas jersey. My dad is a Chivista, so I'm very proud. That's all I have to say.
Right on, right on. And, but, of course, we're here to talk about this insane, insane time that and the importance of why we need to step out and vote. We've got the honorable, amazing Senadora Patricia Torres Rey. Thank you for being here with Latina Theory.
I am just delighted. I have been waiting for this moment. You too. Finally, it's coming. I had to run for Congress. This is something. Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to be here.
You've definitely been our Guerrera de la Semana, probably
more than once.
More than once.
Yes.
Definitely more than once. Well, yeah, I think even this year, probably twice, and in our first season, probably twice, too. So we show a lot of local love, but also make sure that our national listeners recognize the importance it is to have a Latina representing our state, and now, you know, looking towards nationally.
Yes, so. Yes, super exciting.
We're so excited about this race, and we know you have a primary coming up here pretty soon on August 14th, so thank you for your time, for our listeners to know that as well. So what we want to ask you right away is, what is important for you that young Latinas know about you?
Well, you know, I think the most important thing is that my story is the story of many Latinos, you know, that I came here as an immigrant and I was 23. So just coming to a state that really is so different, and Minneapolis is so different, you know, when I came here 31 years ago, people think that Minneapolis has been what it is today, but it really wasn't 31 years ago. You know, Lake Street was just really devastated with poverty, lots of just really problems that the city didn't want to address and was overwhelmed with trying to figure out what to do with Lake Street. And so I live nearby, so I knew what it meant to take a bus from, you know, the river all the way to downtown. And just that transition of the city and that growth is something that I have been part of during this time. So coming as an immigrant who just was disconnected from a community, from my own country, without a family, and then seeing this transformation and living this transformation is very exciting. You know, and I've been part of that. I have been part of that time in Minneapolis. So it was a difficult time 31 years ago as a 23-year-old disconnected from my family. But, you know, I'm running for Congress, so it's a pretty good time. You know, 30 years of an exciting time for a city that is transforming before our eyes, and my life has transformed during that time. So it's kind of the story of immigrants, really, when you think about it, how we come to this country looking for opportunities, and then our lives transform, but we also transform the communities that we live in.
Right.
So it's a fascinating time in my life, and now as a 50 plus, I'm not going to say, everybody knows my age is online.
Google.
Yeah, just Google it.
God darn you.
yeah, it's just a beautiful time to be running for office at the congressional level. And I want people to know, you know, this happened to a 23-year-old that came here and didn't speak a word of English, and I'm running for Congress. So it's an amazing story.
Jose, I mean, going off of that, you know, 31 years, I'm 31. I put my time back in there, and I think about how much change that, you know, I've seen, and the leadership that, you know, the both of you here have done in our Latino community, and not just, you know, talking about our Latino community, but our communities of color, and making sure that opportunities are presentable for everyone, right?
Exactly.
All of us or none. Speak about a little bit of, you know, the importance that not only the movement is now, but what it's been back, if we flash back into like Latinx history here in Minnesota, and recognizing how much work not only yourself, but Patricia has been a part of.
Well, I guess I have to say that I first time I came to Minnesota, it was 1975. So at that point, there was maybe, I think, a total of 26,000 Latinos in the census for Minneapolis, for Hennepin and Ramsey County together.
Both, yeah.
So, but I will say something that has not changed is that when I first came here and started working here, right away I ran into your mother. I ran into Elsa.
Hi, Mommy.
I ran into people that right away took me under their wing and showed me around. So, so what I'm getting at is the fact that we have people that were here way before I came here in 75 that were paving way, and they helped us move ahead. And so I think, you know, Senator Patricia right now is a good example of what we feel our responsibility is at our age group. And I'll say I'm 61.
Really? We thought you were like, I thought you were, you know, at least 41, man.
So I'm sitting here thinking, but our responsibility is to identify leaders like you, Maria Isa, and who I've known you since you were probably 3 years old, I think.
Sounds about right.
And Ariana and Blanca, and, you know, all these young leaders that are out there, our responsibility is to make sure that we continue to pave those ways. And make sure that you, when you want to take over, you can take over, and we don't stand in your way. Mm-hmm. That's what our responsibility is right now.
Mm-hmm. Patricia, I know Ariana has some questions in regarding to, you know, what we have lined up here at Latina Theory. We're so happy you're here. I mean, you know, you said you've been waiting for this, but I think, you know, we've also been preparing to have our, you guys talk about leadership and the new leadership, but we still look towards that leadership. You know, we feel that there's so much more to be done. And when you put yourself in the position that you have and that you continue to do, it's important for us to make sure that, you know, our placement is on point, and that people start to recognize that it's beyond just, you know, an age category. It's beyond a gender. It's about unifying our communities.
Absolutely.
And so, Ariana, why don't you start off with our first question today in regards to our platform?
Of course. So, for Latinas who don't know, Patricia Torres-Rey is the first Latina senator in Minnesota history. So thank you so much for paving the way for us. And so my question for you, or our question for you, is why did you decide to get involved with politics in the first place?
Yes. So, you know, in 2006, I was working for the state of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I worked for the state of Minnesota for 16 years. And Tim Pawlenty was the governor. Mm-hmm. And Tim Pawlenty really destroyed a lot of the systems of support that existed in this state for low-income people. And so I was in the Department of Human Services. And actually, for people who don't know, Tim Pawlenty is the one who really changed all the regulations around driver's licenses. Mm-hmm. Because in the state of Minnesota, anybody could get a driver's license. Mm-hmm. And Tim Pawlenty had plans to run for president. Mm-hmm. So he decided to really design a set of strategies to take away a lot of programs and services for low-income families, and against, you know, people who are in welfare, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. And immigrants were a big part of the people that he wanted to attack and just really position himself just as a Trump today, you know, against immigrants.
Right.
So I'm an immigrant. I was working with a lot of those programs. And he devastated the state for 4 years. And then he was running for office. And he was going to get reelected. And he did get reelected. So I thought it was time for me to go. And I wanted to really go out and tell people, you know, we just need to organize politically and we need to do something against this. And I just left and thought that this is what I needed to do. And it was, you know, really a desire to do this political fight outside of government, but
right.
not against government, but just pointing out to the fact that we really needed to get organized in order to change government, to change that we had to be more active in politics.
And that there's opportunity.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that we as a community and as people of color, we're the fastest growing majority. So we, you know, people say you are the 99%, why don't you act like it? Mm-hmm. And we're saying that completely in my campaign right now, but this is an issue we have been fighting for a long time. So, you know, I always say that there is one thing that these people have inspired me to do, people like Pawlenty and now Trump, is to take my fight to the streets. Yeah. So he inspired me to leave my office and just run for office. And Trump is inspiring me now to run for Congress. Really.
It's kind of like...
Because we have to fight against this. And we have the numbers to do this. Yeah. So that was my motivation.
El aceite, el sartén.
Exacto. Yeah. Exactamente. Yeah. Definitivamente. I just... So at that time, you know, people said, you know, Patricia really didn't have a story. She didn't have a political story. She was not connected to people who were in office. She doesn't have a family of people who are in politics. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't have presence in the Democratic Party. She's not going to get elected. But I think people discovered very quickly that I did have a story and that it was a beautiful story as an immigrant who came here and just really fought my way into accomplishing, going to the University of Minnesota, doing the work that I needed to do, and that I had a big community behind me. People not just in the Latino community, but really in social services that I've worked with for 16 years. And when I announced that I was running, a lot of the people who followed me were not people in politics. They were people that have worked in the community, who were activists. And they said, you know, we really want her to be a senator. And I was elected by 87% of the vote.
Look at that.
So, yeah.
That's amazing.
It was an amazing moment in my life. And what I claim to, you know, that it was kind of the beginning of this wave that we see today. You know, it's a, you know, this desire to really bring people who were new, who really had, work as activists, who were working with the community, who were not part of this establishment, you know, right. of people who were in politics, families, children of families. So that was very big, and I think continues to this day, and I'm excited to see that more people are running for office, you know, people of color, young people. It's an exciting time, and I said that started a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, I always look at that. You have to recognize history to see what the opportunity is in present day. And if people don't know about the history, good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's going to be very difficult to survive the challenges that you're going to face as an individual without recognizing those who have been there before.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it goes beyond us. It goes beyond where we're at now. It's more about, you know, we can help each other out by engaging on, this is how I did it. I'm not saying that this is the way that you got to do it, but, you know, I fought that battle so that you didn't have to.
I was just going to say, something we do a lot at Latina Theory, and it connects to the next question, is really try to work on honoring the folks that paved the way for us to be here doing this work. So we talk a lot about being unapologetic Latinas and kind of say whatever the heck we want on this podcast about a range of issues. And I don't think we would have had the freedom to do that if people like yourself and Jose hadn't been fighting along the way and making space for us in the arena to be more of ourselves. And so I just want to say thank you for that. And so on that note, you have been a senator for 12 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are really interested in you sharing some highlights about your career that are important to you. Also talking to a lot of young folks that maybe don't know what it even means to be a senator.
Yeah.
Like, what work have you done? What does that mean for folks in their everyday lives?
Yeah. So, you know, I am one of, say, five minority members in the Senate, and one of 8, 9 in total at the legislature. So it's kind of a lonely place when you think about the priorities that we make as people of color who not only represent our districts, but also represent the voices of communities of color. And so you find that in my office, for instance, I have a lot of Latinos who come to my office, a lot of people of color who will say, you know, my senator doesn't even want to give me an appointment. I came to talk to you because you are very approachable and you're working on these issues and we have a, you know, we think that you're going to hear us. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's the most important role that I've played in the Senate. And I always tell them, you know what? No, it's not going to happen. You're going to meet with your senator, and if your senator doesn't respond, you're going to write a letter. And if he doesn't respond to your letter, you're going to write a letter to the editor. Mm-hmm. Because that's how he works or she works for you.
Right.
And I am constantly in that position of just really telling people that they really need to exercise their power as mm-hmm. constituents. So I think that's important for people of color in particular, because we like you said, you know, people don't know what we do. Exactly. And they don't know that we actually work for them.
Right.
And that we just really, that we're accountable to people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm very proud of my record, and I also have a lot of policy that I have authored over the years, you know, over 200 bills that have been designed through a lens of equity and social justice. So when you review the bills that I have authored over the years, they really relate to health, education, economic opportunity, housing, developing infrastructure through this lens of equity.
Mm-hmm.
So my bills have that language of opening opportunities for people who typically are just really left out of the process. So I have, you know, a foreclosure bill that made national news that really was later on, the Obama administration dealt with the foreclosure issues, but it started, Minnesota was one of the states who actually started that.
Mm.
And I am the author of that bill. I also have a bill that has made national news for reforming ELL, English language learning, in the McKnight Foundation has been promoting this language. And actually, Carlos Mariani and I are the authors of this bill
mm.
when we were chairs of education. So we took, you know, an opportunity to update codes in education that are totally outdated. And so it talks about hiring more teachers of color, and we put, you know, language into how that it's done and how teachers are trained and how we actually support schools in their effort to build the skill to serve ELL children. And I have a number of bills, you know, that are really authored and written through that lens of equity. So I could name a lot in health and human services and housing, and environment. So those are issues that to me are incredibly important. The other thing that I think that has been very important for me is to really challenge my own members. You know, sometimes if you're not at the table, I feel like the voice of our communities are just not there. You know, that although they have more constituents than
right.
I do. Some of the members have more constituents that are people of color, and they just don't think about the needs of our community. So I'm always in the room saying, okay, are we thinking about these communities, and what are we doing? How does the bill that you're authoring that, you know, significant impact in these communities? So I'm kind of that voice there. And, you know, Larry Pogemiller, who represents this area, said one day that I am the conscience of the Senate
mm-hmm.
because I'm always asking for how does this apply to the people that we serve, especially those that don't have a voice. And I think the final thing is just really opening the door to have more people of color in the legislature as mm-hmm. a staff, as interns. And I'm always asking the members, you know, did you hire? Did you interview people, you know, of color? Don't you want a bilingual person? I think
right.
it's in your best interest to have a
right.
person who speak another language. I haven't made a lot of progress, unfortunately. The Senate is very white. But I try. And I give them resumes of people and say, you need to hire, and, you know, review this resume. So it's a lot of work, but very, you know, very meaningful work.
Yeah. We are going to get into a song. You know, you're from Colombia. Shout out to all the Colombianos, Colombianas that tune into Latina Theory. We're going to get in with one of my favorite groups from Colombia, representing the Latinx genre of just fun and defeating this Trump era and survive the Bush era. So shout out to Bomba Estéreo from Colombia. And we're going to come back here on Latina Theory with Senadora Patricia Torres Rey.
Big Will. night. Hola, mamacita. Oh, yeah. Go get me a birra. Oh, yeah. This track is a heater. Couldn't let the beat go by without a feature. Oh, yeah. Cause it's hot shit. Only you know me. OG, high class and low key. Trying to find me a Sophie Vergara. And a dance floor to terror. Cause me, I like beauty. Ancient Colombiana, laced in designer. The kind of gets impatient. Gotta be blatant. Walk up behind her. No gas in me. I'm a Tesla. Teach game, sensei, professor. Smith Estrella, the fresh one. Live on Sensei, fiesta.
Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
And we're back, mi gente. That was Fiesta by Bomba Estéreo. I just want to let folks know that after we were playing them and just giving love to Colombia, Patricia was like, oh my god, there's just so many fantastic artists from Colombia. I can't keep up.
Do you know that the Miss Latina Minnesota is Colombiana? So
Maria Isa is going to do a show. And I'm going to help bring a bunch of Colombians here.
Hey,
how about that?
Let's do it. And anytime you want to go to Colombia, you know, I'm always
down. Oh,
that too.
That's
I'm also down for that too.
That'll be fun.
So, everywhere.
We have to do that.
Speaking about, you know, Colombia, you came here 31 years ago. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What a time. I mean, back in Colombia and then here. I mean, just, you know, just to recognize that not only do we talk about what we have accomplished, but what we've survived.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm.
Yes,
absolutely. So true. You know, right now, I was having this interview with labor about issues related to the environment and mining and all of this divide that is just kind of there in the Democratic Party that is very complex. And I was just telling them, you know, I come from a country that has been in civil war for 45 years.
Right.
And so the environmental, you know, activists, I mean, literally have been killed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Labor people have been killed. Mm-hmm. And all of these companies have taken over my country. And, you know, a few families own these industries. And they're the same industries that are here, that are in Chile, and, you know, the same people that own these mining companies. So it's something that people here kind of need to know about. You know, this is the history of these countries that have been destroyed by very wealthy, you know, corporations that are destroying the environment and destroying, really, labor, too. So it's something that we have to look at as we look at the future of uniting us around, you know, kind of the protection of people and our right to organize and bottom line, our environment. It's a huge deal.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, and I also know that Jose, who's joining us here, had some parting words for our Latina Theory listeners.
Well, I just wanted, I'm so glad that Patricia talked about when she first got elected, and I just want to make sure that the listeners understand that Patricia didn't just become a senator and sign on to bills. And so I'm glad that she talked about the bills that she authored. But I also want to say that she's also not a senator that just got assigned to a committee. She took the leadership of committees on, and you know, She's one of a few handful of minority legislators, but she got elected to positions of leadership from within her own parties. And so I guess this is the kind of things that I expect from her and why I'm really pushing her to go on to Congress, because I expect her to take on leadership right away. She's not just going to go up there to sit in the middle of the Capitol. And she's going to fight. And that's what she's done. As you say, we go by our history. Mm-hmm. And if I look at Patricia's history, I know I can count on her to take leadership positions. And to have, at one point we had, you know, she mentioned Representative Mariani. Mariani and she to be these chairs of education committees. We got so much done. And through their leadership, and to have two Latinos that were willing to step up. And so I'm glad she talked about that, and all I can say is that I've known Patricia. The first time I ever met Patricia was when she was the ombudsperson for Latino families and children, and I was asked to be on her board, and that was the very first time that I saw this young lady that kind of admitted, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm fighting, and that was it. So, I mean, she admitted what she couldn't do, and she knew what she had to do, and she just did it. So that's the kind of history I know of Patricia, and that's why I have this confidence in her. And I think, again, I wanted to not just push the Latinx and Latinos, Latinas to go and advocate for it, but I think those of us that can say, no tenemos papeles, but we can knock on doors. We right. can go out there. Mm-hmm. We can talk to people about this. We're legal permanent residents. We can't vote, but we can talk about these issues. So, again, being an immigrant myself and having gone through the process of being a green card holder for many years before I became a citizen and then I voted, that vote is sacred, and you need to use this vote to get the Latina leadership that we have in this state to Congress. So I just wanted to not let Patricia pass by not acknowledging all the leadership that she's taken on, and she kind of skimmed through it a little bit, and I just wanted to push it.
No, definitely, and making sure that, you know, we have those elders in our community as well that have fought. You said that word, fought, you know, mm-hmm. lucha. Mm-hmm. I remember just a few months ago in February honoring Mario Duarte and all of his work and the legacy that he's had. There wouldn't be a Latina Theory if there wasn't for La Prensa mm-hmm. and our news being told, mm-hmm. our real news. Yeah. And Patricia made sure that the governor honored his work and that his commemoration was celebrated in the Capitol. And we wouldn't have that if it wasn't for the representation that, you know, I call you PTR because I'm a rapper. Mm-hmm. That's your MC name here on the theater.
There's a lot of people. PTR. They were going to do t-shirts of PTR. And say, people are not going to get it. PTR. That is our thing.
PTR, right? Patricia Torres Rey in the house. But, we wouldn't have that if it wasn't for, you know, yeah. that lucha. And I think that's what it is. You know, we have all of these different circles and boxes, which to check. And when... What I say is, you know, check the one that you see represents the fight that has been there and that will continue to be there and that will help us to continue to fight together. And you know, that's why I encourage you to those listeners that if you've never voted before, maybe you're just turned 18 and this is your first time getting your registration card to vote, really, really take a focus on it's beyond just checking that box. It's really educating yourself and learning and recognizing that you are the manager. You as a voter are the manager. I'm an artist, so I look at it as like, you're an artist. You know, you create the artwork that's being produced for people to listen. So you take that charge by recognizing that you have the choice to elect those who work for you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And now I know that this is something our listeners would love to know about you, PTR. And that is, you know, we talked about like just the depths of you being a chingona here, right? And so we just want to know what music, what música, what canciones do you listen to keep you motivated? It can be anything.
Do you know, I don't know if this happens to every immigrant.
Okay.
But it just seems that I was, I left that on that time when I left Colombia, mm-hmm. and I have not evolved. I just kind of got there, and I brought that music, and for some reason, that's the music that I listen to all the time. Yeah. And my children goes like, Patricia, your mom, could you listen to something else? This music is like when I was 20, and I keep listening to it. But, you know, it's interesting. In Colombia, I kind of grew up with música protesta. Mm-hmm. And Joan Baez was just very, very much part of what I listen in English. And, mm-hmm. and I just adore her. Mm-hmm. And I think she's going to be here pretty soon. So that's my music, and I listen to it. So I don't know, a lot of Mercedes Sosa, mm-hmm. and I adore just, you know, music of that time. And Silvio Rodriguez is just... Mm-hmm. When... He came to New York. He had a concert, and you know that our friend, attorney, who director of Immigrant Law Center,
John Keller,
posted in Facebook that he actually was going to go to a concert of Silvio Rodriguez in New York. And I said, "You got to be kidding me!" He said, "This is the last one, and it was only $50."
Wow!
So he was in New York in an amazing concert that took place about 2-3 months ago. So
okay.
He's my love. I love him. I love Silvio Rodriguez.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Patricia.
Yes, we're going to play a song by Silvio Rodriguez, and this was a request by La Senadora. Silvio Rodriguez, here on Latina Theory with La Masa.
Creyera en la locura de la garganta del sinsonte, si no creyera que en el monte se esconde el trino y la pavura, si no creyera en la balanza, en la razón del equilibrio, si no creyera en el delirio, si no creyera en la esperanza, si no creyera en lo que agencio, si no creyera en mi camino, si no creyera en mi sonido, si no creyera en mi silencio, qué cosa fuera la masa sin cantera. Un amasijo hecho de cuerdas y tendones, un revoltijo de carne con madera, un instrumento sin mejores resplandores que lucecitas montadas para escena. Qué cosa fuera, corazón, qué cosa fuera, qué cosa fuera la masa sin cantera, un testaferro del traidor de los aplausos, un servidor de pasado en copa nueva, un eternizador de dioses del ocaso, júbilo hervido con trapo y lentejuela, qué cosa fuera, corazón, qué cosa fuera. Qué cosa fuera la masa sin cantera. Qué cosa fuera, corazón, qué cosa fuera. Qué cosa fuera la masa sin cantera. Si no creyera en el deseo, si no creyera en lo que creo, si no creyera en algo puro, si no creyera en cada herida, si no creyera en la que ronde, si no creyera en lo que esconde, hacerse hermano de la vida. Si no creyera en quien me escucha, si no creyera en lo que duele, si no creyera en lo que quede, si no creyera en lo que lucha, y qué cosa fuera la masa sin cantera, un amasijo hecho de cuerdas y tendones. Un revoltijo de carne con madera, un instrumento sin mejores resplandores, que lucecitas montadas para escena. Qué cosa fuera, corazón, qué cosa fuera. Qué cosa fuera la masa sin cantera, un testaferro del traidor de los aplausos, un servidor de pasado en copa nueva. Qué cosa fuera, corazón, qué cosa fuera la masa sin cantera, un eternizador de dioses del ocaso, júbilo hervido con trapo y lentejuela. Qué cosa fuera, corazón, qué cosa fuera la masa sin cantera, qué cosa fuera, corazón, qué cosa fuera. Qué cosa fuera la masa sin cantera.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
All right, mi gente, and we're back. We're here with our very special guest, Senator Patricia Torres Rey, who's running for Congress in Minnesota. And so, Senator Patricia, you gave us a little bit of a look into your musical taste. Now we want to know about your taste buds. So what is your favorite plato del día or platos del día o del año, whatever. What is your favorite food that makes you happy, basically?
What food are you going to request at Congress?
That's going to be tough because I don't think that they're going to have it in Congress. But, you know, I discovered cecina con sopes. Sopes are my favorite. Mm. I just adore sopes because this fat tortilla that is hot with green sauce and beef on top of it, I love it and I can have it any day. And another thing that I really like a lot is, people believe it or not, I love beets.
Mm.
And goat cheese with beets.
I'm a beets girl.
Are you?
Yeah, I do. I love beets.
I could eat them any day.
Me too. Everyone's like, really?
I love beets. Actually, I love limon. Like really simple and cooked in a whole bunch of different ways.
And with goat cheese and just some nuts. Oh, they're delicious.
It's your stamina food. You know, with so much work, and
exactly.
I mean, if you don't know, if you're, those who are listening don't know the work that goes into a campaign, I mean, it's restless.
It is nonstop.
You got to make sure you eat and drink plenty of water.
And get some sleep in somehow.
And so when we asked Patricia about, Senadora Patricia, about what's your plato del día, we really meant it because we're like,
did you
eat your beets today?
And you know, I don't know if it happens to you, but when I am very tense and there's a lot of stress, I want to comfort myself with food.
and so I will go and grab something that is really bad for you.
Oh yeah, you had
you know, like a piece of cake full of chocolate and ice cream on top.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I love ice cream at this moment.
Of course.
You know, going to like the local aspect of being, you know, mm-hmm. on Lake Street, La Michoacana. Have you been to La Michoacana?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
there are so many good places in Lake Street.
Man,
La Alborada. So have you been in La Alborada?
La Alborada is so good.
Yeah, it's so good.
You know, it's a place that you just will not really take a look at and just bypass. But the food is the best. It's just absolutely
they have really
delicious.
Good chorizo. I'm picky with my chorizo, and their chorizo is really good.
Yeah, uh-oh. They have good food. Mm-hmm. The another place that is overlooked is on, I think it's 32nd and mm-hmm. Lake. It's called International Cuisine.
Okay.
They have Ecuadorian food.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They have the best lapingachos.
All
with
right.
cheese. They are just delicious.
We're going to try them.
Good food.
There
good
you
food.
Go. Our platos del día, semana y del año.
Right? All the recommendations, too.
We'll be checking you guys.
Lots of good places.
Yeah, prepárense que Latina Theory will be recording live from all of those locations.
Oh, right. We have done that. And so with that, we are actually going to be closing our time with you today. We want to know why you decided to run for Congress, which we're really excited about.
Yes.
Yes, yes. No, this has been just an amazing time, an amazing opportunity. For me, you know, it was a time where I felt it was time for me again to take my voice and my experience and my fight to the streets and to really call the attention of people to the opportunity really that we have. You know, people think that in reality this is a time that people are fatigued, mm-hmm. they are discouraged, that there is just... that there's nothing we can do. There's a lot of we can do.
Right.
And I want to run for office because I want to represent these voices of people that are here. We're the majority.
Mm-hmm.
And the work that I've been doing with communities of color around disparities is the work that I would like to continue to do. We need to fight against these injustices, and we need to show the country, show the state of Minnesota, show the 5th Congressional District that the needs of our communities have not been addressed, that mm-hmm. We have a lot of wealth, a lot of opportunities in this state, but we have not participated in that. They have not included
right.
this growth, and these opportunities have not included our people. And so it's time for us to really push for greater representation, to have a voice that will bring those voices, that will bring the presence of our community to these tables of power.
Absolutely.
And I think the table of power where we need to be is Washington, because that's where the big fight is.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be there, and I want to be with the people who are not only impacted by these horrendous decisions and the direction that the country is taking, but also the people that are building this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are the majority. Mm-hmm. We are building this economy. We're the people with innovative ideas. We're the majority in the schools. So we also need to be in these circles of power making the decisions on our behalf. And that's the reason I'm running.
Thank you. I make note of when for our Boricua voters that are in CD, CDFI, okay, that's where Patricia is running
mm-hmm.
To represent in Congress when our Boricuas were just in shock mm-hmm. of the catastrophe and the devastation of Hurricane mm-hmm. Maria. Senadora Patricia Torres Rey was in first response and saying, I'm there and what do you need? And that's what we need in Congress, somebody
Absolutely.
That responds to everywhere that needs to be representative and that your voice is accountable to represent. And she made sure that she reached out, and I thank you for that, because you're one of the few people to respond immediately and follow your word with your local Boricua community here than most people have done in Congress. You've done more, what I like to say,
mm-hmm.
for our community than more people have done in the congressional seats outside of the Puerto Rican community. So thank you for that. And I just know that that's the domino effect. It's not just our communities and our Latino communities,
mm-hmm.
but she will
so
be there
people.
for what you need and is an ear to listen and is motivated by what she hears to react and take action.
And she is one of the most consistent leaders that I have seen in our community, since we're giving her special shout-outs here from Latina Theory. When
yeah.
I first started in my political career. She was one of the first people who met with me, mm-hmm. and I felt gave me some real advice about how to grow and how to lead. And I'm always going to be grateful for that, Patricia.
That is the power of our community. It's just, this is who we are, you know. And think about the power of the Puerto Rican community. We have almost 15,000 Boricuas. Mm-hmm. If you think about the winning number for me, mm-hmm. that is about 25, almost 35% of the people that I need to win this mm-hmm. election.
Oh, definitely.
Hey, the Boricuas can make it happen. Like, I mean, this is the power of our community, yeah. right? When you really look at the numbers of who we are and what we represent in political power. It's just immense.
Yeah.
So we need to exercise it. We Definitely. Need to claim that power.
There's a lot of Boricuas that have resettled over Northside, yeah. and you've been here for longer yeah. than 6 months. So take that initiative to yeah. vote for somebody that represents and stands up for you.
Absolutely.
I know a lot of Boricuas over North and Northeast. So take that position, and over in Uptown too.
So everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
I'm growing. I'm growing.
So we appreciate you for coming on to Latina
yeah,
Theory.
Thank you.
Thank you for continuing this lucha and making sure that people recognize and that we have our equal rights. Let's give anything else that you, last comments that you'd like to say or mm-hmm. statements to our listeners that are tuning in.
I am just delighted to be here, to hear your voices and to just be part of this dialogue that we're having with the community. Mm-hmm. And it's you know, your first... You're the first podcast with mm-hmm. Latinas Chingonas, and that's just the beginning, right? You just
Absolutely.
Opened the path, just Definitely. Like all of us. You know, many of us are the first, and so I am just excited to be here and just, and, you know, people ask me, what is your favorite podcast? And I don't listen to a lot of that, but I do know about Latina Theory, and I
Yay!
Listen to that.
You heard it here.
Absolutely, I do. So. I'm delighted. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And we have a special request by who we heard from earlier today, Jose Gonzalez, El Chingon.
El Chingon, who requested yeah. a song by Vicente Fernandez, like the good Mexicano.
I think this might be the first time we're actually playing the legendary Vicente Fernandez.
That's very true. And it's Vicente Fernandez with Los Mandados.
Thank you for tuning in here at Latina Theory.
Piedra. piedras negras al paso y de agua prieta nogales. La migra a mí me agarró 300 veces, digamos, pero jamás me